Let's go to Joe in Spokane, Washington. Hello, Joe.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Great. Why are you pro-choice, Joe?
First of all, I'm really glad you made that distinction between pro-abortion and pro-choice, because that really made this a whole lot easier for me.
Okay, great.
Because I think that with the availability of contraceptives these days, I know that's a whole other can of fish with the Catholic Church. I believe that abortion is something that can easily be avoided if you're responsible, smart, mature about your decision.
You'd want to avoid abortion, Joe?
Oh, of course.
Why? I mean, why? Why would you want to avoid abortion?
It's a dangerous medical procedure, and I mean, there's a lot of gray area in there on the morality
Joe,
of that.
I'm sorry. Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I am.
You said
sorry.
It's a something procedure?
You said there's gray. There's like gray areas.
No, before that, though, use an adjective before the word procedure. Just didn't hear you.
It's a very morally gray procedure.
Oh, morally gray. Okay.
I'll definitely see that point. But as an American, we live with a lot of other people in this country. Mm-hmm. We're not all Catholic. I mean, as much as we want to say it's a Christian nation, there's millions and millions of different sects and religions living in America.
Right. I wouldn't say there's millions, but there's a lot.
Let's say they're all, whether they're all atheists or all Mormons or all Catholic, when did you hear Trent invoke religion or dogma or Bible so far, Joe?
I haven't, but I'm saying that as Catholics, we can't be imposing our beliefs on the American law legal system.
Okay, so we have to let everyone be free to live their beliefs. I see where you're going here. So
there's probably no way to let this answer unspool, Joe. I wasn't sure how you're going to phrase the question. Can we?
But I think I have it in the mind, though, and I see what we're going to do.
Yeah. All right, Joe. We got to take a little pause here. We'll come back and finish with the question. Catholics have no right to impose the tenets of their faith on the rest of the American public. We're now speaking with Joe in Spokane. Joe's Catholic. He doesn't think abortion's necessarily good. It's a morally gray area procedure, and besides, Catholics have no right to impose the tenets of their faith on the rest of the American populace. Have I summarized your position accurately, Joe?
I believe that's pretty correct. Sorry if it sounded like I was yelling earlier. I was on speakerphone.
No. Better to yell and be heard than whisper and not. But so, Trent,
I didn't want to come off.
Sure. And Joe, let me begin. I agree with you. We should respect people's freedom to worship, their freedom to be a part of their different religions, so long as it doesn't contradict with the common good or violate the rights of other people. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, there were these group of people called the Canaanites, and they did some pretty bad stuff. In fact, one bad thing they used to do was they would sacrifice their children to a god named Moloch. In Carthage, in northern Africa, we've actually discovered the ruins of where they would sacrifice these children. Some of them, a stillborn child would be sacrificed, and their two-year-old sibling would be sacrificed with them, because there'd be a worry that you see these little skeletons. There was a worry that Moloch wasn't happy with the stillborn child. You'd have to give him the toddler. So, Joe, here's my thought experiment. Suppose there were a group of Canaanites living in the U.S. today, and they wanted to sacrifice their two-year-old to Moloch. Since we can't say their religion is wrong, or we don't even know a two-year-old's life has begun, we can't say when life begins, should it be legal for them to do that?
I would go with no.
Why is that? Why? What gives you the right to impose on their religious belief?
Because they're endangering others with sacrificing a child. That child has the potential to go out and do whatever it wants.
How do you know they're hurting a child? How do you know that two-year-old is a person?
Honestly, because that child can experience things. It can experience art. It can experience emotion. It can experience love.
Okay, how about...
And that's what really makes a human to me, is the ability to feel all those distinctly human things.
Distinctly human.
And that's where that distinction comes from.
So what about a newborn baby? Are they people?
Yes, I would believe a newborn baby is a person.
Because...
I think a late-term baby... Uh-huh. Is still in the womb is a person.
Joe, hold on, Joe. Now, so you're saying newborn babies can't experience much. They can experience warmth and touching and things like that, right?
They're in a cognitive stage. They can't experience. They experience attachment. I mean, you said you guys are fathers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
When they first brought your child in, did they have you do the thing where you take your shirt off and hold the baby against your chest?
Sure, skin to skin. But the baby doesn't recognize who you are by sight or anything like that for a long time.
But it's still experiencing those same emotions in the brain. It's that chemical reaction.
Joe, does a calf, when it's born to a cow, experience those kind of things?
Yes.
Okay. Are cows people?
they do have their own rights. There's a reason for that. There's a reason that...
But no, Joe, our cows, if someone kills a cow and eats them as a burger, have they committed murder?
No, but that's because cows experience them in a cow fashion.
Are cows people? The question was, are cows people in your mind, Joe?
Yeah.
No, cows are cows, people are people.
So a person is any human that's born, that seems to be, or any person that can feel things.
Yes.
But why is it the way, like, let's say, for example, a dog. Would you agree a dog can experience things more than a newborn baby?
How old a dog?
A mature dog, a 3 or 5 year old dog.
I would say that yes, but that's because that dog has had experiences.
Right, but is that dog a person?
No, a dog's a dog.
Okay, give me the definition of a person. Why are the only humans, people, the ones that can... So I guess for me, the experiences, that's not what matters to you. Because if a dog experiences something, that doesn't matter. But it's only the way humans experience things. Why the difference? Why do humans matter more than dogs?
Because humans have been able to create all of these things with that experience. We have art, science, literature.
Not newborns or mentally handicapped humans.
Or late-term fetuses.
Yet they're just as valuable, aren't they?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, well, my position is just this. Tell me what's wrong with this position. All humans are equally valuable regardless of their functional ability. So if you're a disabled person or a newborn baby, or if you're a human in a coma that doesn't experience anything, you are still human, you are a person. And unborn children are also human, therefore they're persons. What's wrong with that position?
I'm not saying that unborn babies are not a human. I'm saying that...
Right, I'm saying they're people, though, just like...
No, people, you're changing... Joe, it's Patrick. Joe, hold on a sec. Yeah. We want to keep the nomenclature apples to apples. Yeah. You're using person and people and person and people. Yeah. And when Trent asked you about late-term children in the womb, you suddenly jumped to humans instead of persons.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Joe, all I'm saying is that all humans are people. All humans are persons because they're all members of the human community. All humans are people. All people matter regardless of how well they function, whether they're disabled or in a coma. And when they can't experience anything, they're still people. So
I will totally agree with you on that point.
Okay, but you don't think the unborn... So a comatose person doesn't feel anything is still a person, but you don't think that the unborn... are persons just because they haven't experienced anything yet? Well, you have to give them time.
Well, also, if they haven't even developed the brain or any of the sensory organs to actually experience things,
why does experiencing things matter?
Because that's what makes humans human.
But here's the problem with your position. Okay, a newborn baby has not experienced anything that makes it different than a dog or a cow, right?
I suppose not.
No, it hasn't. It just hasn't. Your position is for us to be valuable, you have to experience something distinctly human. But a newborn baby only experiences the need to expel their bowels and warmth and light and touch, just as dogs experience and cows experience warmth, light, touch, and the need to move their bowels. So the newborn baby, under your view, since it hasn't experienced anything distinctly human, is not a person, but nearly everyone disagrees with that. So that would show there's something.
It's parents love. It's experience.
What do you
learning.
Mean? What do you
oh,
mean?
Dear.
It's
discovery.
Joe. Yeah. Can the baby tell me, "Oh, I feel really loved today"? It can't do that, right? It's only
a baby can express that, though. You've seen a baby light up when its mother comes into the room. You've seen
as much as a puppy lights up when you pet them, right?
Well, we could go into that. Could just be Pavlovian as well.
Okay, Joe, you said that you were opposed to late-term abortion. Like the moment before birth, the day of birth, you think it should be illegal to kill the baby the day of its birth, right?
Yes.
But there's no interaction with mom, dad, and uncle, auntie, M while the baby's in the womb. So there's no bonding possible because it's absolutely unseen.
Suppose so?
You suppose so? Oh, what? Where are we going wrong?
Well, they have all these books written. I'm no expert, but you have music played for the babies. You moms with the headphones on belly and all that. Well,
that's a good argument against abortion. You're kind of strengthening what we're saying.
Yeah,
Joe.
At least for late term. So, Joe, I think the problem here is
here's my thing.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not pro abortion. I'm pro choice.
Do you think
I'm
there's
saying that,
so you're
hold
not
on a sec, Joe.
What about first trimester abortion? Are you pro first trimester abortion?
I'm not pro any abortion. I think that
why
enough to have sex, you're mature enough to figure out a way to not get pregnant.
Joe, why aren't you pro abortion?
Because honestly, it seems like something that can be avoided. And really, like I said, it seems like a morally gray area to me.
So it seems to me it's morally gray to you because at some point in the pregnancy, the child becomes a person when they're able to experience things. And for you, experience is what makes you a person. But you deny – here's what I have a hard time understanding your position. Experience is what makes you a person. But if a cow or a dog or a rat or whatever, if a non-human has an experience, that doesn't matter because they're not human.
But it's a cow experience, yes.
But why does – right, it's a cow's experience, but why doesn't that matter? Because a newborn baby, you say it can experience love, that's just a roundabout way of saying the baby can experience the warmth of touch and sounds and lights, just like that cow. It doesn't, I mean, you could even say a dog experiences the love of their owners, but they're not persons. It seems to me you want to have your cake and eat it too. You want to say experience matters, but these other animals aren't people because they don't have the right kind of experience. And newborns are persons, even though they have not done anything different to experience than a dog or a cow.
Here's the thing. If you're saying that a dog's love and a dog feeling love and a person feeling love are the same thing, then why haven't I read a sonnet by a dog?
I agree with you. Humans are distinct. That is what makes humans special. But the problem is there's many humans who can't act distinctly human. I think you're having a hard time getting this, that a newborn and a cow or a dog, they are on the same cognitive level. That's the problem. But we don't treat newborns like cow or dogs. We treat them differently. Why? Because they're just a member of our species. And since the unborn are also members of the species, we have to treat them equally. I think this is just an example of an ad hoc way to try to include born people but get rid of the unborn. And I think it's demonstrable how ad hoc
and
it is.
Another piece of the puzzle is people born without brain stems,
right,
who really are incapable of experiencing anything, but we don't put them to death. Wish we had more time. Joe, hope that was a help.